Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
We hear a lot, don't we, about these so-called active skincare ingredients, but what do they actually do? Which one should we look out for when we're buying new creams or serums? Well, who better to tell us than consultant dermatologist Dr. Rosemary Coleman, who's here with me in the studio. Lovely to have you with us.
Good morning, Claire.
It can be a little bit overwhelming now, all of the different products that are out there. Are there essentials that you say to people now, you really should be doing this when it comes to active skincare?
Well, I'd say I have my personal favourites at this stage. So needless to say, I won't bore you with sunblock. That's obviously the most crucial. But I like glycolic acid skincare products. I think retinols are worth trying carefully. I like vitamin C serum. I like hyaluronic acid for plumping the skin and hydrating. Mm-hmm. So the main thing about active skincare ingredients is it depends on what you want to target. So what you choose depends on what problem you're seeing on your skin.
Right, so whether you have to know what you're doing.
Exactly. Or is it pigmented? Or have you an irritated skin you want to calm down? Do you have rosacea or do you just want a brighter skin?
Mm-hmm.
So depends on what you want.
Need to do your homework on that. And then when it comes to what you use first and where how you're layering them on.
Yes, I'm asked that all the time.
Mind
and it's actually very easy.
Okay.
The thinnest, lightest product goes on first because otherwise you're just going to block it. So think of it as a peanut butter and jam sandwich. If you want to get the jam to soak into the bread, you're not going to put a thick layer of peanut butter on first. Mm-hmm. So you put the thinnest, lightest, most watery ingredient on your skin first, which might be your serum or a treatment toner. Or you mightn't need any of those and just put on a thicker moisturiser.
Right. See, I'm just thinking about when I first started working in television many, many years ago. The big thing was to have a matte complexion, right? You couldn't be shiny on camera.
Changed, yes.
And I still have a thing about that now where I think shine is bad. Mm. If we put on all of these products, are we all going around shining like beacons?
Well, it's interesting you say that because you hear a lot of the youngsters now want this dewy and they're spraying things on their skin to make them look shiny and dewy. But the trouble with powders and matte is that as you get older, the more powder you use, it sits in the wrinkles and it can be very aging. So what's nicer is to have a fresh, healthy complexion. And personally, I don't like to see a lot of makeup on skin. I'd like to just see healthy skin and a light cover. We all need a little bit of cover for blemishes.
Yes, but not too much.
You don't want to be greasy and you don't want to touch skin and have product come off on your skin. That's too much.
Yeah.
If you put on that much, you're going to congest and start to get little spots, particularly on the forehead.
So less is more.
Yes.
And let it absorb before you go in with the next layer.
Yes.
Okay, so you're going to have to give yourself a bit of time in the mornings to get all this stuff on.
Takes
right?
ages.
Does we don't have ages, Rosemary, in the mornings. Listen, will we get to some questions? Because as I said,
certainly.
As always, we've so many. So this is from a 76-year-old who describes himself as being pretty healthy. I've destroyed my face by sun damage over the years. You don't want to hear that now. That's very unfortunate because you're so big on sunblock. But this person says, I've terrible dark pigment and I hate to look in the mirror, which is a terrible thing to hear. Can you advise something that might help me?
Well, I actually think it's great to hear a 76-year-old say, is there something I can do rather than it's all over and I'm going to put on thick makeup? And the answer is they can do an awful lot with their skin. So I have seen skin totally reverse over the age of 70. And I know it's boring, Claire, but using fastidious sunblock two or three times a day because what they're describing is sun damage.
Mm.
Start with the sunblock before you waste your money on anything else. And then those big pigmented marks can probably be treated with either liquid nitrogen by either a GP with an interest in dermatology or a dermatologist or laser. What you don't want to do is freeze them if you have dark skin. So if you have dark type 3 or 4 or Asian skin and you treat those with liquid nitrogen, you could end up with white marks. So you have to go very lightly. They could also use skincare products to help treat pigment. They could be using glycolic products, niacinamide, retinol, kojic acid, vitamin C. There are many products to fade pigmentation and they do work if you give them a year.
Oh,
not a week or a month.
And don't you also have to be careful with those products because some people can't use them?
Well, the products like retinols are definitely more irritating. Mm. And there are two main grades. There's prescription grade that the doctors will prescribe for either medical reasons, or indeed somebody with sun damage like that could benefit well from a retinol because they are at a higher risk of skin cancer. And then there are the over-the-counter retinols, which are much weaker. Now, if you can't tolerate an over-the-counter low-dose retinol, which is at least 20 times weaker than what we'll prescribe, there is absolutely no point in going for a prescription. You'll take the face off yourself.
Right, and you don't want that, obviously.
You don't want that.
So start with the over-the-counter, maybe.
I think that's a good idea for everyone.
See how that goes. Okay.
They're inexpensive.
And when you start using those, is it a daily dose that you do, or should you go every second day?
Great question. I usually say start off once a week. If you're red and scaly and irritated, do it again once the following week. If the irritation goes, then you're ready to go for twice a week. Maybe Sundays, then Sunday, Wednesday. Many people don't use it more frequently than that. If you have no trouble, work away daily. And if you can tolerate the over-the-counters, try a prescription-grade retinol.
See, that's great advice, because I know, well, if I was getting buying something like that, I'd say, right, lash that on
lash
every
it.
Day
yes.
And you'd be in bits and you'd
yes.
have to stop.
Yes.
Okay, I hope that advice helps our listener there. So this listener was discharged from the skin clinic I attended about 3 years ago after my psoriasis totally cleared up. In May, it flared up. I can't pinpoint the reason. It has come back worse than before. My GP has referred me back in to the skin clinic, but the waiting list is 10 months. The steroid cream, I've gone back on that, but they want to know, is there anything else apart from steroid cream that they can do right now while waiting for the appointment to relieve the symptoms?
That is very difficult, and it really is a matter of going back to the GP. There are other things that can be added into the steroids, creams called Dovenex, which is a calcipotriol. So it's another cream that can be used. There are coal tar based creams that can be used. Phototherapy, sunlight therapy, and I do not mean sunbed therapy,
okay.
But sunlight therapy could be used. If this person finds sun helps, if they actually had a sun holiday, that could help them once they don't burn. But the fact that it flared in May makes me wonder, could it actually be triggered by the sun? Not that we had much here in May. So there are many things going on, but I'm afraid that person does need to see a dermatologist.
Yeah, and they have to wait the 10
awful.
Months. Psoriasis is a terrible thing, isn't it? Because it just
awful.
Inexplicably flares up.
Correct. Now, double check that they didn't start a new medication. Certain medications will flare your psoriasis. Or that they're not suffering from undue stress, because they could tackle that at the same time while they're waiting. There are other triggers.
Mm-hmm. So if you changed your job, or if something in
Absolutely.
Your life has changed, your sleep.
Yeah, or a blood pressure medication, or a medication right. like lithium for anxiety or for manic depression, they can all flare it.
But don't come off any of those things?
Definitely
you just
not,
need
Claire.
To no. manage what's happening.
Discuss it with the doctor.
Here's an interesting one. What do you think of face exercises for lines and wrinkles?
That is a really interesting one, because, put it like this, maybe I'm too lazy to do them, but it's a really difficult one because we get the lines from repeated facial actions.
Mm-hmm. Face yoga.
Yes. So I suspect it may help some areas of the face, like, for example, the jawline. But it may well aggravate other lines, such as the lines around the mouth or the eyes. So the answer is, I don't know.
Mm, OK, fair enough. That's honest. This listener has a 14-year-old daughter who has a lot of spots. Now, they say not acne, I think, and I'm not sure how they know that, but this daughter is very conscious of it. She's very sallow skin and plays a lot of sport. Mm. I'm sure you wouldn't be as convinced that's not acne.
She has acne.
Oh.
Spots equal acne in a 14-year-old.
Right.
Particularly if she has some blackheads. The only way I'd say it's not primarily regular acne is if she has started to do what a lot of the youngsters are doing and is piling on lots of skincare products. So she might then have what's called acne cosmetica, typically seen first on the forehead.
Mm.
But a 14-year-old with spots should be treated as acne and go to the doctor. Don't go to the beautician. Go to the doctor and see, does she need medical treatment because of the risk of scarring?
Right, because we hear about teenagers. It's always been a thing that you get spots when you're a teenager. Are you saying that that's always
yes.
acne? It's
yes.
always acne?
Yes. Acne equals spots, particularly with blackheads. The other big myth out there is most of the people with acne in my clinic are adult females. Acne is more common in adult females. But because we always think, oh, spots equal teenager, they come in and they say, how could I have spots? It's terribly common in adults.
Right. And in adult women in particular.
Yes.
Right. Interesting. Mm. Okay. So a visit to the GP recommended there. My son in his 20s has a red patch the size of a 5-cent coin on his cheek. The rest of his skin is clear. This spot gets inflamed with little white heads every so often. It then calms down and repeats. He cleans his face regularly, but it never goes away. It bothers him. What could that be?
That's very interesting. That could be a lot of weird and wonderful things. He needs to see a dermatologist.
Okay, so you need to go on one of those waiting lists. That 10-month waiting list we heard there, is that pretty much where it's at?
No, it very much varies because he seems to be too young for most people to get skin cancers, but I'm afraid you can get a basal cell carcinoma in your 20s and it can manifest as just a scaly plaque on your face. So if he goes to the GP and they have any suspicion of skin cancer, he goes on to the urgent skin cancer waiting list and they should be seen within a month.
Good. So that's great advice. You need to go to the doctor with that.
Get an opinion.
Now, how do you get rid of discoloration or yellowish pigmentation in the armpits or bra strap area and in skin folds in various parts of the body in general?
Well, first of all, you have to make a diagnosis, and that's a very unusual history. So the question is there a bacterial or a yeast infection going on there? Does the patient have something as simple as keratinemia? Are they vegetarian, vegan, or do they have an awful lot of green veg and you don't have to be having carrots? But that can cause discoloration on the skin.
Mm-hmm.
Are they on any medications which could cause that discoloration?
Right. It could be any number of things,
you're saying. It could. So they would need to be seen and examined and take a history.
Right. You're great for taking all of these questions now because I'm just throwing them at you, Rosemary, as they come in.
Just a mini quiz, Claire.
A mini quiz, yeah. It's not so mini. This is from another Claire who has a 13-year-old with regular acne. It's not severe. Lots of her peers are on Roaccutane. Is that correct? And she wants to get it. But it feels like, to this mother, it feels like a sledgehammer to crack a nut. She's inundated with YouTube videos telling her different skincare routines. What should she be using?
Okay, so number one, ignore the YouTube videos. I'm a very big fan of Roaccutane, particularly if I see a single scar on the face. But it's not first line. So first line is to go to the doctor, see if it's appropriate to start with topical therapy, creams and lotions, get dietary advice as to the foods that might be triggering her. Make sure that none of the products that she's seen on YouTube could be making her worse. Could it be related to the menstrual cycle? Could hormone therapy help her? And if, or does she need antibiotics, systemic antibiotics, that's tablets. If they all fail, then I would be a very serious advocate for Roaccutane. And early, I wouldn't wait until she has a lot of scarring. Acne has major psychological effects as well as physical.
Particularly now, because everybody thinks they have to be social media perfect, you
Absolutely.
Know, and won't put up with it, nor should they put up with it. But there's a lot of things you're saying that she could do before she gets to Roaccutane.
Totally. But as a parent, don't fret and worry too much about Roaccutane, because most parents who are very worried about it, who then have to allow the children to go on it, they virtually all say to me, apart from literally one in thousands, I wish I had done it earlier.
Ah, okay. So don't be afraid of it.
Yeah.
I have, says this listener, a very itchy scalp, particularly when I'm in bed at night. I've been using the same shampoo and conditioner for years. I did try cider vinegar diluted with water in a spray bottle, which now that sounds irritating to me, but you're the expert. Have you any advice?
Just again, without seeing the patient and knowing anything about them, I would say buy Nizoral shampoo in the chemist. The most common cause for scaly, itchy scalp is overgrowth of a very common organism on the scalp, Malassezia furfur. And Nizoral shampoo, you can buy it over the counter, soak it in for 10 minutes, use any conditioner you like, do that a few times a week for a week or two, and there's a good chance that will do the trick.
How do you feel about the cider vinegar diluted with water?
I've never heard of that on the scalp, but cider vinegar has got a lot of good old wives' benefits, so perhaps
maybe
it's a good idea.
Just sounds irritating.
It sounds very drying on the hair too, and irritating if you've scratched your scalp.
But whatever works, I suppose. Andrea's here, texting us, wanting to know if we could ask Rosemary how I can treat what appears to be eczema on a 10-year-old son's skin. It only appeared in the last 2 weeks. Under both arms, red, dry, itchy patches. Most mornings he had a rash on his torso as well that's hot and itchy. She's giving him an antihistamine, which eases it for him. I soak him in oatmeal baths, but it's not clearing up.
Well, the oatmeal baths are a very good idea, but I'm afraid, Claire, I know it sounds boring, but they need to go to a doctor. That child needs medication, because if the child is developing eczema, you want to see, is there a trigger? But if you just let it run its course, it can actually get an awful lot worse. He could end up red from top to toe. So you'd want to nip it in the bud. And also, if it's getting angry and he's very itchy, there's a good chance it's infected. So if you nip that in the bud with an antibiotic and a weak steroid, and don't be afraid of the steroid, because eczema will cause far more havoc. Mm-hmm. A steroid used appropriately is how we would treat that to start with. And then there are non-steroid creams, like something called Protopic, which can also be used once the eczema has calmed down. So I'd say get to the doctor early, into the GP, they'll sort that out.
Okay, and antihistamines in general, how do you feel about them being used for skin itching?
Antihistamines are great for skin itching if it's urticaria and other causes of itch. They have very little role in eczema, apart from the sedative antihistamines to help people sleep at night. Mm-hmm. But they have very little role for atopic eczema.
Okay, well, we were using them a good bit for insect bites over the summer.
Totally. So they're very good for all of the other things, but just not eczema.
Right. Okay. So you need to get to a doctor with your son. I have been in and out to my GP for the last 6 months with a terrible itch on my lower legs. I've taken antihistamines, steroids, all types of creams. The itch is driving me insane and my legs are in bits. Have you any advice?
This is getting harder. There is a funny condition called erythromelalgia, which can even cause really severe irritation in the legs. And the hallmark is often that the people are driven to soaking their legs in a bucket of cold water and to try and ease and calm them, particularly if they've already tried steroid creams. Make sure that it's not infected. And again, the GP would tell them that. And make sure they're not irritating it with particular socks, pop socks, boots with a lining, an artificial lining, anything that could be causing a contact or an allergic dermatitis. But you didn't state the age of the patient.
No.
Lower leg eczema is terribly common as we get older. The lower leg skin dries out. Using over-the-counter moisturisers containing urea and lactic acid can be very hydrating for the lower legs. But again, that patient might need a stronger steroid or an antibiotic for a short while to nip it in the bud, or possibly allergy testing.
OK, so back to the GP and suggest those things, because that sort of an itch on the lower legs.
Drive you mad.
Oh my God, drive you bananas.
Drive you mad, especially in bed at night when you get warm.
All right. I'm 50 and I suffer with enlarged pores. What can I do? Is that just cosmetic now if you've enlarged pores? There's nothing to be worried about there, is there?
Oh, that's a great question, because children nowadays are all looking at their mother's magnifying mirrors, because I don't know many men with magnifying mirrors, but their mothers, and they think that pores are a medical condition. Mm-hmm. So the 10-year-old who sees pores on their nose, they panic. So I say, take the mirrors away from the children. That's number one. Pores are very annoying, and while it may be cosmetic, it really is quite irritating. So the best thing to do is make sure to keep those pores well cleaned out using something like a glycolic acid or a salicylic acid face wash. Don't overdo it. Use an appropriate face mask a few times a week. Consider using retinols. They're the best for pores. And glycolic acid creams are also excellent for pores. There are then certain lasers and skin treatments and skin peels which can shrink pores. But they are very annoying.
Okay, so that was brought us right back to where we started, back to the active ingredients, Rosemary. And you'd be glad to know now that the quiz is over.
We've come
to the end. You certainly did. So much so that we'll have you back again very soon, because the questions are still flying in. Consultant dermatologist Dr. Rosemary Coleman, thank you so much for being with us. We'll be back after this quick break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.